Blog Talk Radio.
We have been talking about becoming a champion for God. We have been talking about becoming a champion for God. We have been talking about becoming a champion for God. We have arrived at the fifth lesson in this four-week series. We are continuing our study on Sunday night. So if you are here tonight, you will receive a blessing of another segment to emphasize what's required in order to be transformed into a champion for God. I've given all of you an assignment, and the assignment you were supposed to select a spiritual meditation partner. As a matter of fact, you were supposed to select two spiritual meditation partners. And I asked you last Sunday to do that. And I told you that I was going to ask you today if you did it. All right? If you selected your spiritual meditation partner, please raise your hand. Raise your hand real high if you did what you were assigned to do. All right. Very good. Very good. Okay. You need a spiritual meditation partner. You need two. You need two spiritual meditation partners. You need two. One spiritual meditation partner will listen as you speak words of success. The other meditation partner will speak words of success as you listen. From time to time, you're going to need someone to let you speak success. And from time to time, you're going to need someone who will speak success into your life. Therefore, you need to have those people designated in advance. There is nothing more discouraging than to get excited about being a champion for God and then sharing with a person who is absolutely uninterested in your agenda. There is nothing like having a devastating experience, and then when you talk to someone, instead of them nurturing you, they have to outmatch you by telling you they've had a worse experience than you have. But if you do not have that designated person in place, when you need a meditation partner, you may be let down and find yourself at a serious disadvantage. Therefore, I'm going to keep asking you, have you selected your spiritual meditation partner? If you have not done so at the end of May, you will be fined $50. Just kidding. maybe do your 30 push-ups or something. But you really need that. I'm telling you, there's going to become a time in your life when you are going to need a spiritual meditation partner. Therefore, you need to find that person in advance. Now, we've talked about in the previous lessons that God will transform you into a champion for Him, and here is how He will do that. When you position yourself to hear, say hear.
Hear.
Say hear.
Hear.
When you position yourself to hear success words constantly. So you've got to position yourself to hear. And then you must power yourself to speak success words constantly. So what you hear with your ears then flows out of your mouth. You are then in the transformation routine. But then last week I shared with you that we must go a step further. Not only must we hear success words and speak success words, we must see success images. Say images.
Images.
Say images.
Images.
So what you see is going to impact and empower you either positively or negatively. In recent years, we have witnessed 7 and 8 year old children murdering other children. And we raise the question, why? The 7 year old have seen 1,000 bloody murders on television and thereby has become desensitized to the shedding of blood. And then every afternoon, his mom and daddy pulls him right in front of the television and watch CSI or whatever those murderous programs are, and then wonder why your child is so belligerent. Because you are training him by placing into his environment failure, disruptive and destructive images on a daily basis. And then parents would say, but that's not real. Do you not realize that when children sometimes murder other children, they actually think it's not real? So the fact that they think it's not real is a non-issue. Whether a person thinks you are dead faking or whether you are dead for real, if you are dead, you are dead. It doesn't matter. So we must position ourselves to see success images. And then we must show success images. We must power ourselves to show success images. If God can get us to do that, He can then transform us into champions for Him. But if He cannot get us to hear and speak and see and show, He'll never get us to be champions for Him. Do you really want to be a champion for God? Do you really want to be a champion for God? Are you willing to position yourself to hear and power yourself to speak? Are you willing to position yourself to see and power yourself to show? God has so designed the human being that He transforms us by words and images. That's how God's created us.
Yeah.
He's designed us to be transformed by words and by images. And that's how God does it. And so when we understand it, we then can participate with God in our own transformation process. It's words, say words.
Words.
Say words.
Words.
It's words and images. Say images.
Images.
Say images.
Images.
Words are so important. Because words craft images in our mind. When I start talking about snow-capped strawberry shortcake, some of you have already decided to get up and leave early. It has created an image in your mind. And some of you might very well have to rush out and get your slice, but it is all over. That's how God's created us. So when we understand how God has created us, we can cooperate with Him in our transformation process. So if you really want to be a champion for God, I'm telling you how to do it. All right, so now that's all in the past. I told you on last week and the week before, it's about words and it's about images. Now let's move to the third phase of this transformation process. If God's going to transform you into a champion for Him, you must position yourself to capture. Say capture.
Capture.
Say capture.
Capture.
You must position yourself to capture success emotions. You must position yourself to capture success emotions. God has so designed us that He generates momentum in us through our personal emotions. If God cannot get you excited and get your emotional intensity rising, He cannot get you to be transformed. See, emotions do for the human mind what momentum does for a physical object. An automobile traveling at 30 miles per hour does not have as much momentum as an 18-wheeler at 20 miles per hour. See, momentum is measured in terms of what's required in order to bring the object that is in motion to rest. So the question is, what does it take to stop you? That's determined by how much momentum you have developed. So God has designed the human being to be transformed through success emotions. Whatever it is that God allows us to hear and what He allows us to see, it is designed to generate emotions. If you do not become emotional, you are not likely to continue whatever it is. Do you not realize that the first thing that happens in the phase of discouragement, something happens to our emotions? You ever got all excited? Listen, you remember your first boyfriend, you know, in the first grade. He wasn't really your boyfriend. You just liked him. And you were all excited, and you told someone about him. And they said, that little ugly boy. And you never, ever said another word. What do? They crush your emotions. And everything else fell by the wayside. God has designed us to be mobilized through our human emotions. And in the transformation process, what we hear, what we see, is designed to create emotions. So God mobilizes us and transforms us through our human emotions.
Yeah.
See, that's why you got to get excited. Mm-hmm. Our problem as Christians, we're not excited. One of our impediments as members of Graceview, you're not excited. You should be so excited that every day, everybody you meet, you are just saying, you have got to come to church with me.
Amen.
You've got to be excited. You've got to be excited. Because every Sunday, you get a chance to hear what other people are dying to hear. You're not excited. When you get excited, excitement is contagious. God has created us to be transformed through success emotions. Now, we have been talking about Gideon. God transformed Gideon into a champion for Him. I've taken you into the Bible and showed you how God used words to transform Gideon. We looked on you how God used images, I'm sorry, emotions, to transform Gideon. All right, you ready for this? All right, you're not ready. Okay, we're going to keep doing review. I have no problem doing keep on review. You're not ready. You're not ready. God wants to transform you. Maybe you all want to be champions? Okay. You don't want to be a champion? Don't be a champion. He wants to transform you. And this principle works wherever. Not only in being a champion for the specific things of God's design, but the process works for you being a champion whatever it is. Listen, if you are a champion in whatever field you are, any champions in here in anything. Anybody ever been a champion in athletics? You've been on a championship team? Anybody? Raise your hand. Okay, you've been on. All right. You heard something. Your coach mobilized you with pep talks and strategy sessions. And somewhere in that environment, he created success images. You've got to see yourself. You've got to see yourself as a champion. If you don't see yourself as a champion, you're not likely to be one. See, that's why you can't go around seeing yourself as a loser. You know, I'm losing. You can't. If you do that, you're going to become what you keep saying and seeing about yourself. So you've got to see yourself. That's why parents, you've got to train your children to see themselves as champions. You got to train yourselves to see children to see themselves as champions. You got to instill in them from day one they are champions. Because God wants them to be champions. So you've got to get them transformed. But you've got to know how to transform them. And they have to see you as a parent modeling God's transformation process.
Right.
You got to see that. You got to see that. And God transformed Gideon into a champion for him. And he used words, images, and he used emotions. How many of you want to be a champion? Okay, you ready for this?
Yes.
And you're not ready yet. God wants you to be a champion. In order for him to get you to be a champion, you've got to understand God's system. God created and designed the world as a system. A system consists of patterns, principles, and procedures. A system is nothing more than an established way of doing something. And when we understand how God has established, he has created us as a system. You are a system consisting of systems. And all of life consists of systems. So when we understand God's system, we can participate with him in being and bringing about our own transformation.
Yeah.
And that's going to take place through words, images, and emotions. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Watch the Bible carefully. Judges chapter 6. I want to share with you what God did with Gideon. Last week, remember we talked to you about how it is that God said to Gideon, said, I want you to tear down the altar of Baal. And that's what he did. So we're picking up the story at that point. Judges chapter 6 and verse number 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord has spoken to him. And because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, he did it by night. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was torn down, and the Asherah, which was beside it, was cut down. And the second bull was offered on the altar which had been built. They said to one another, who did this thing? And when they searched about and inquired, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, did this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son, that he may die, for he has torn down the altar of Baal, and indeed he has cut down the Asherah, which was beside it. But Joash said to all who stood against him, will you contend for Baal, or will you deliver him? Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is God, let him contend for himself, because someone has torn down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he named him Jerubbaal. That is to say, let Baal contend against him, because he had torn down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called together to follow him. Now notice what happened. When he had torn down the altar, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. It is interesting to note throughout Scripture, when the Bible informs us that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon an individual, there is emotional intensity. You remember Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says when they had come together that they heard a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house wherein they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You might recall in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 23, the apostles had been beaten and threatened and told to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. They came together for a prayer service, and their prayer was that God grant them the courage to speak the word with boldness. And the Bible says the place where they were gathered was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So what happened to Gideon? He captured success images and captured success emotions. The Holy Spirit fell. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. When we are born again, when you were baptized into Christ, he not only gave you forgiveness of sin, but he gave you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit empowers and enables us. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 18, he says, God is able to do beyond what we are able to ask or think through the power that works within us. The emotional intensity and power generated by the Holy Spirit. So what did God do with Gideon? Gideon positioned himself to capture. Say capture.
Capture.
He positioned himself to capture. Say capture.
Capture.
Capture. In that transformation process. And then secondly, after he captured success emotions, he then created success emotions. Created. Turn to Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. I'm going to share this with you, and then you go home. Remember, Gideon had an army. He had an army that was too large. Gideon had 32,000 soldiers. God said, your army is too large. Gideon sent home those who were scared. 22,000 went home. Gideon was left with 10,000 soldiers. God said to Gideon, your army is too large. And he reduced Gideon's army to 300 men. To 300 men. And that's where we began to read. Judges chapter 7 and verse number Judges chapter 7 and verse number 9. Now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, now this is the Lord speaking to Gideon, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. But if you are afraid to go down, go with Purah, your servant, down to the camp, and you will hear what they say. And afterward, your hands will be strengthened that you may go down against the camp. Now listen to that. Here's what God said. Here's what God said. He said, Gideon, I want you to go down and I want you to listen. You're going to hear something. He said, you're going to hear something. And after you hear it, your hands are going to be strengthened. How is it going to start? With what he hears. With what he hears. Now, this is what the Lord said to Gideon. He said, when you go down, you're going to hear something. What are you going to hear? Watch the text. Look at verse number 12. Now notice verse 11. He says, you will hear something and your hands will be strengthened. Verse 12. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the sons of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. And their camels were without number, as numerous as the sand on the seashore.
Yeah.
Now imagine, you have 300 soldiers. You're going down into the valley for battle. And you look at their camels as numerous as the sand on the seashore.
Mm.
But now that's an image that everywhere you look, there is a camel. A camel. And then everywhere you look, there were people like locusts, but you have 300 soldiers. Watch the text. Watch the text. Verse 13. When Gideon came, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friend. Now stop right there. What did God say to Gideon? You're going to hear something.
Yeah.
And what you hear, you're going to be sleeping by it. Gideon arrives at the camp, and two friends are talking. One is sharing with the other his dream. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Gideon shows up, and Brian is telling Delmon his dream. And Gideon is, watch the text. Look at verse 13 again. When Gideon came, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friend. And he said, behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian. And it came to the tent, struck it so that it fell, and turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat. Stop right there. What kind of bread do you eat? Listen. Imagine a loaf of bread tumbling, just rolling over and over, and that loaf of bread rolls into your house and smashes. That's some kind of bread. Someone said, that sounds like the bread my sister cooks. That bread just tumbled.
Yeah.
The bread just rolled and tumbled into the pit of the Midianites and turned the tent upside. Now that's some kind of, we all call that tornado bread.
Yeah.
That's some kind of bread.
That's bread.
And that's, you know, God got some kind of sense of humor there.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Gideon, you're going to hear something. And when Gideon gets there, what does he hear? A dream. Bread tumbling into a tent. Watch the text. Verse 13, a friend told the dream. In verse 14, the other friend interprets it. His friend replied, this is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel.
God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand. Now the dream was a loaf of bread tumbling into the tent. The interpretation was the bread is the sword of Gideon, and God has given him victory. That's what Gideon heard when he got to the camp.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Uh-huh.
And God communicated through the dream of two friends.
Yeah.
Well, what's going to happen when Gideon hears this? Look again. Verse 16. Verse 50, I'm sorry. Verse 15. When Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hand." You see that? He divided 300 men into three companies, and he put trumpets and empty pitchers in their hands of all of them, with torches inside the pitchers. He said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I and all who are with me blow the trumpet, then you also blow the trumpets all around the camp and say, 'For the Lord and for Gideon.'" So Gideon and 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. When the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, they held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand for blowing, and cried, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Each stood in his place around the camp, and all the enemy ran, crying out as they fled. When they blew 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword of one against another, even throughout the whole army, and the army fled as far as Beth Shittah, toward Zerah, as far as the edge of Abel-Mehamah by Tabith. Now notice what happened. When Gideon heard the word, he captured the success emotion. He said to the people, "God has given us the victory."
Yeah.
Look at the person sitting next to you and say, "God's given us the victory." So Gideon captured success emotions and then created success emotions. The difference between Gideon and Moses: Moses became excited about God's agenda. He just couldn't get the people excited about God's agenda. Gideon was excited about God's agenda, and he was able to get the people excited about God's agenda. If God's going to transform you, he's going to do it through words, images, and emotions. Words, images, and emotions. So if you're not spiritually being empowered as a champion, you need to look at the process and see, where did I fall out of the process with? Where am I? Listen, if you're ever concerned about what's coming out of the north end of the water hose, go check out what's going in at the south end of the water hose. So if you're ever concerned about where you are becoming a champion, you need to look back at where you are in the process. You cannot put into your mind negative words at one end and then come out creating success emotions at the other.
That's right.
You got to be very careful. Got to be careful. All right? When we put success words into our heart and success speech comes out of our mouth, success images go into our eye, success images are shown by our hand, success emotions are captured, then success emotions will be created. That's God's transformation process. Words, images, emotions. Let's say that.
Words, images, emotions.
Let's say that again.
Words, images, emotions.
Say that again.
Words, images, emotions.
That's God's transformation process.
That's it.
So if you're not being transformed somewhere along the line, you are not cooperating with God. It's not a secret. It's not magical. It's not above. It's not for above average people. Listen, Gideon was fearful when we saw him, but God transformed him. You may be afraid today, but God will transform you into a champion, and you can take that process and become a champion anywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Words, images, emotions. Now, if you want to be transformed, you first need to be born again.
That's right.
If you're born again, it's going to start with words. You need to hear how Jesus died on the cross for your sins.
Yeah.
How he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You not only must hear that, you must believe it.
Yeah.
And you must be baptized. Because in baptism, God washes away your sins.
Yeah.
Have you had your sins washed away? You say, I'm not a bad person. That's not the question. The question is, have you had your sins washed away? You ever been around onions, garlic, handling garlic? You have onion smell on your hands until you do what? Wash it away. Yeah, that means you're an onion person. You just happen to have been handling onions. Sure doesn't mean that we're necessarily that bad a person. We have just been handling sin. And God needs to wash away our sins.
Right.
Because that is the essential starting point for us to become transformed.
Yeah.
So has God washed away your sins? Have you been born again? If you've not been born again, you are yet in your sins.
Mm-hmm.
And God has a system whereby he washes away our sins. If you believe that Jesus is the resurrected Savior, if you repent of your sins, and if you're baptized, that's God's system. You say, well, I've never heard that before. Praise the Lord. Glad you had grace for me today.
Amen.
It's right in your Bible.
Yeah.
Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Will you take Jesus' word for it? Do you not think that the one who died on the cross, certainly he knows what you must do in order to be forgiven of sin?
Sure.
And then the apostles picked up that theme and taught the same message. In Acts 2 and verse 38, they said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sin. You want to be born again? In just a moment, we're going to be standing and singing a song of encouragement. If you haven't had your sins washed away, that's the time for you to come. And guess what? You ought to come right now as we stand and sing.
Oh.